In our headlines, Bank of Ghana reminds banks others that persons implicated in financial sector cleanup are not fit to hold positions. Also in this bulletin, Finance Minister appeals for support from financial sector ahead of media budget presentation, as he hints a lot will depend on the sector in the next half of the year. Plus, Absa Bank Ghana appoints former Ecobank boss for Liberia, Edward Buche, as its new managing director. We have details of these and more for you. Please stay. Always a pleasure to serve you with the very latest in the world of business. I am Pius Kojo Baka. The Joy Business Report is brought to you by Ecobank, a better way, a better Africa. And look now at our stories. The Bank of Ghana has reminded banks, specialized deposit-taking institutions and the public that persons who have not been directly implicated in the 2017 and 2019 financial sector cleanup and all previous directors of failed banks do not qualify to hold key positions under the fit and proper persons criteria. This was in a notice to banks, SDIs and the public. It added that the move is to further promote the safety and soundness of regulated financial institutions. Here's more.
The regulator of the financial sector reminded all and sundry that poor corporate governance contributed significantly to excessive and imprudent risk-taking in the financial sector, which led to the failure of some regulated financial institutions licensed by the central bank, consequently necessitating the 2017-29 banking sector cleanup. Additionally, in order to sustain the gains made from the cleanup, the Bank of Ghana issued the Corporate Governance Directive in 2018, as well as the Fit and Proper Persons Directive in 2019, to strengthen and embed sound corporate governance practices in RFS and to entrench the gatekeeping role of the regulator in the financial sector. To enhance governance disclosure practices by RFIs, the Bank of Ghana further issued the Corporate Governance Disclosure Directive in 2022 to convey its regulatory expectations under Pillar 3 of the Basel Capital Accord relating to regulatory and public disclosures. The central bank recapped that significant shareholder, directors, and key management personnel in their oversight and management functions shall at all times be of good repute and possess significant knowledge, skills and experience to perform duties in line with the dictates of the Fit and Proper Persons Directive 2019.
A business desk report. Now, Absa Bank Ghana has appointed former Ecobank boss for Liberia, Dr. Edward Buche, as new managing director of the bank. The announcement was contained in a statement issued by the Bank of Ghana today. George Yafi has more.
Absa Bank, in the statement, announced that his appointment took effect from July 10, 2024, and is taken over from Adol Kwega, who has been the interim managing director during the transition period. Dr. Buche at Ecobank held several positions, including regional consumer head, Anglophone West Africa comprising Ghana, Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and the Gambia. He was also the regional chief finance officer for the Anglophone area. Dr. Edward Buche is also an accomplished banker with over 20 years of diverse experience in business leadership, finance strategy, operational efficiency, and performance management. He holds a doctorate in business administration and a master's in applied business research from the Swiss Business School, Zurich, Switzerland, as well as postgraduate degree in contemporary management from the Noble International School, Accra, and a Bachelor of Arts and Economics from the University of Ghana, Lagos. The board chairperson of Absa Bank Ghana, Madame Frances Edumante, praised the appointment of Dr. Eddie Buche.
George Yafi filed that report. Now, the Minister of Finance, Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam, has given an indication that the media budget will review will focus on measures that will promote the growth of the economy and tighten expenditure. To this end, he has been calling for support from commercial banks and financial sector players as part of a stakeholder meeting on the budget review. Speaking to Joy Business after a short engagement with industry players, Dr. Amin Adam told Joy Business that the support of financial institutions will be crucial in the next half of the year.
We expect the media budget review to announce a few measures on how we can promote economic growth and to get the banks to appreciate where we are going and to be aligned with our expectations is really important, because they will help in financing private sector participation to enable us to achieve an accelerated growth rate for the development of our country.
Minister of Finance, Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam. A while longer within the financial market, the Director of Economic Strategy and Research Division at the Ministry of Finance, Dr. Alhassan Idrisu, is urging a new review of the public wage structure to lessen its burden on government expenditure. According to Dr. Idrisu, there is the need to lock in wage adjustment for about 2 to 3 years to cut down on government expenditure. He spoke in an interview with Joy Business.
It has to be wages you pay, which you can do so sustainably for a very long time without hurting the fiscal. Every 1 percentage point increase in the base pay on public servants who are on the single spine salary structure generates a cost of about 500 million Ghana cedis. So what this means is that if you are able to put a framework where you agree with organized labor and negotiate wage adjustments within fiscal limits, you make fantastic savings.
Dr. Alhassan Idrisu is the Director of Economic Strategy and Research Division at the Ministry of Finance. Away from financial matters, the Chief Executive Officer of the Chamber of Cement Manufacturers, Dr. George Dawson Amwa, has rejected some statements made by the Minister of Trade and Industry, Katie Hammond, on government's move to pass a legislative instrument to control prices of cement. Speaking to Joy Business at a stakeholder consultative meeting, Dr. Dawson Amwa said the minister's approach in engaging stakeholders who will be affected by the legislative instrument is wrong. He described the attempt to control price of cement as unconstitutional.
And so it is absolutely untrue, absolutely incorrect that the minister invited the companies and they refused. The circumstances leading to that was what I have told you. And again, after the minister had more or less understood them, he took up the press conference himself or meeting the media, having assured them that after meeting the media, he will come back to them, only for them to be dismissed. So I say that they turn up for the meeting, but refuse to face the camera because there was no agenda and they were not prepared.
You're still listening to the Joy Business Report. Turkey farming is fast becoming a lucrative venture for some farmers, but just like the other areas of poultry value chain, they are faced with some challenges. Some farmers are lamenting the low consumption of turkey meat in Ghana. Today on Food Chain, we explore strategies and processes involved in turkey farming with the CEO of AgriDeep Farms, Samuel Ochirisapo. Enjoy.
Laws are interpreted arbitrarily all the way to the
Food and Drugs Authority earlier this year banned the importation and consumption of turkey tails, also known as trophy, due to its fatty nature. However, this does not completely prevent individuals from consuming turkey meat. But how profitable is turkey farming in Ghana? Samuel Otri is chief executive of AgriDeep Farms, and he shares with us how this journey began.
I was formerly doing... Well, let me say, at a point, I was doing quail. So what I do is I raise fertile eggs, go and hatch them, and then I brew the quail eggs and then sell them off. Then there was someone who said, that, why not help me hatch my eggs? I mean, take it to your incubator guy for me. So I picked these eggs, took it to the machine. Unfortunately, the eggs performed badly. So out of, I think, about 30 or 25 eggs, just one turkey hatched. So he felt like driving all the way to come and take just one bird, then take it. So he gave it to me as a gift. So I raised that one turkey, and by Christmas, it was now matured.
He shares that a major challenge associated with rearing turkeys is the disease called paralysis, which affects the animals.
I entered turkey farming as a novice. I mean, everyone starts as a novice. And the challenge I realized was paralysis. So I went for my first set of turkeys, and then within about 3 weeks, these guys just break down, and then their legs are paralyzed, and that's all. So they will remain that way till they die, or it's like they're not useless. So I realized that their demand for calcium is far more than what the chicken requires. So I had to now look for calcium sources. I eventually settled with dicalcium, to increase the calcium content of the feed so that I could have a successful cycle.
According to him, despite its associated risk, turkey farming is relatively cheaper compared to chicken.
Sometimes the feed depends on how long you are taking the bed. If you are doing a layer cycle, the beds are going to be in your structure for about 2 years. But technically, you can end the cycle in 5 months. So, I mean, in 5 months, I just end up buying, end with feed expenses, and then I sell them off.
He also lamented about the low consumption rate of the meat in Ghana.
The turkey business has been a good one. But generally, I think there has to be more.